Public hearing, establishment of a fisherman identification program, which shall be consistent with the National Saltwater Angler Registry Program. Mr. Travelstead.
Thank you, Commissioner. One of the consistent complaints that we hear from recreational fishermen, whether it's here at this body or at the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission or the Mid-Atlantic Council, is that the data...
Hang tight just a second. Let me clear the room. Proceed, please. Yes, sir. Thank you.
One of the consistent complaints we hear from recreational fishermen is the concerns, the lack of quality of the science and data and information that we have to describe their fishery and, in particular, their fishing catches and effort. And as you know, most of that information is collected through a federal survey called the Marine Recreational Fishery Statistics Survey. And it has been described by the National Academy of Sciences as a survey that is woefully inadequate and very poorly designed. The good news is that the National Marine Fisheries Service has spent the last 2 years redesigning that survey, and a new survey will be going online here fairly shortly. Part of the redesign is to no longer use random telephone calls to residents of coastal counties to survey, but rather to create a phone book of people who are fishermen, who are licensed fishermen, so that every phone call that's made as a part of that survey, you know you'll be talking to a fisherman, and there's some fairly high likelihood that he actually went fishing in the previous 2 months. Part of creating that phone book involves participation by the states. And that's what this agenda item is about today. We took this issue to the General Assembly last year and made some recommendations about how Virginia ought to go about this to assist the federal government in that survey. And they have directed the commission to create a fisherman identification program, which is really nothing more than a phone book of fishermen who will fish in this state sometime during the year. That program will be in addition to the licensing system that we already have in place and have had for quite some time. So there will be two ways that anglers, under our proposal that's before you today, will be able to register. One, by a fishing license. We have your name, address, telephone number, date of birth from that document. That'll all be computerized and forwarded to the National Marine Fisheries Service every couple of months. Problem with that licensing system is there are a multitude of exceptions as to who has to buy that license, and then there are blanket licenses that cover more than one person whose names are not on that license document. For example, if you fish aboard a private boat that is licensed, you don't have to have a license in your own name. Well, we therefore don't capture your contact information for the phone book. Under the FIP, we will, because those folks will be required to now register. One of the typical exemptions you see in code is if you're fishing from your own private property or you're the guest of an owner of private property. You don't have to buy a license, so you're going to be required to register under this proposal. Now, we want to make it as simple as possible for people to register, and it will be at no cost. There's going to be two ways. One is through the internet. There'll be a dedicated website that you can tie into 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It will take you literally about 30, 40 seconds to type in your name, address, telephone number, and date of birth. And you'll be given a number, a registration number, which you'll be required to keep with you and present to a police officer if you're stopped. There will be no document that you have to carry with you other than that number. If you register through the internet, you will be able to print a document out if you want from that screen, but you won't have to have that with you. The other way, because not everybody has internet access, will be a toll-free telephone number that you'll be able to call, again, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Again, no cost. And it'll be operator-assisted, which is going to make it a little bit expensive. Other states have already done this. State of Delaware has done this, and they've used what's called an IVR system, which is an interactive voice recording system where you're being recorded. You're not talking to a live person, but then a live person has to listen to that recording and transcribe what you said. And unfortunately, Delaware has found that about 30% to 40% of that transcription is in error and doesn't result in viable contact information. We want to avoid that. We want a system that is closer to perfect than that. And so we're going to engage a company that will be a live person at the end of the phone, make sure he gets the correct spelling of your name and your street and your town, and puts that into a database for us. Unfortunately, that's going to cost about $1 per minute. And it's probably going to take the average caller about 2, maybe 3 minutes to register. So you're looking at $2 to $3 per registration. The question then is, well, how many people who aren't covered by a fishing license will be required to register? And how many of those people who register will use the telephone method? There's no cost to the internet method for us. That's taken care of. If you look back to some of the other states that have done this, Delaware, again, for instance, found that 56% of their registrants used the telephone rather than the internet, which was a surprise to us that it was that high. Contrast that with the federal government, who's running their own registration, have both internet and telephone, only about 15% of their registrants are using the phone. So that's the best I can offer you at this point. It's somewhere between 15 and 56%. The other thing we can't tell you is how many people are going to be required to register. The data just aren't very good. We know the current survey, which isn't very good, and we're trying to replace, estimates about 760,000 people fish in Virginia every year. We know from our own records that about 120,000, 130,000 of those people buy licenses. So that leaves a whole lot of people that fall under those exemptions, all of which theoretically under the law are going to have to register. And if you assume 56% of them are going to use the telephone to register at $2 to $3 a registration, it would cost us somewhere between $800,000 and $1.2 million to implement this program. Now, that's a lot of money. But we think those numbers are way high, overestimates, unrealistic. We think more on the order of 100,000 to 150,000 people will register by phone. Which means the cost is more on the line of $300,000 to $450,000. But we could be wrong. And as a result, to make sure that we generate enough funds to cover worst-case scenario, we think you should increase the license fees by the maximum that the General Assembly allows. What is that amount? That's, for most of the licenses, that's $5, a $5 increase per license, or the percentage increase in the CPI since the last time we raised licenses. And that amount is 10.75%. Now, there's one exception to all that. The General Assembly has allowed us to raise the boat license by $10 to cover the cost, and we're recommending that you do that. And if you look in the evaluation, you'll see the list of license fees that we're proposing to increase and by how much. The sum of all those increases, assuming everyone who bought a license last year buys one next year, will generate about $700,000. which we believe should be sufficient to cover the cost of the registration program. The new fees are fairly closely in line to what we see in other states. Tends to be a little bit high on the individual license. We will be going up to $1,750 if you adopt the staff recommendation. Maryland, for example, is at $15. North Carolina is at $15. Most of the other states are at $10. The private boat license, most states don't have a boat license, but Maryland's at $50. We would go up to $48, so I think that's in keeping. PRFC's down at $30. One of the concerns there is because the Potomac River Fishery Commission license is reciprocal with ours, if we raise our boat license too much, Virginians could get the idea of, well, I'm going to go buy the cheaper PRFC license. It's cheaper, and Virginia recognizes it. So we may see some shift in the sale of the PRFC license to avoid that fee. I don't think it'll be widespread, but something we'll need to keep an eye on. Again, under the registration regulation that we're proposing, anyone who is fishing in tidal waters for marine species or for anadromous species will be required to register unless they have purchased a Virginia license or a PRFC license. And they'll be required to maintain that registration number and present it to a police officer when they're asked. Again, the only information we're asking for is name, date of birth, address, and telephone number.
And Jack, once again, if we do nothing, what will occur?
If we do nothing under federal law, our citizens will have to register with the federal program. Go through the same process, telephone or internet. The difference will be there will be a federal fee of $15 to $25 imposed on January 1st.
On everybody, regardless if they have a license, boat license, anything, that's what it
Everyone
is.
Everyone registers whether they have a license. There will be no exception. So it may not be something you wanted to do, but when you compare it with what our anglers will have to do on the federal end if we don't do this, it's the best of both worlds. And, of course, this is being dictated to us by the General Assembly, so we really don't have a choice in that respect.
Mr. Schick?
Yeah, so basically the folks that don't have licenses will be people fishing from their own dock or pier or bank. Of their own property and people who are on other people's boats.
Yes.
And 65 and older and those younger. What's the age on this one, Jack? 16 still. But the youngest, what's the youngest age now? 16. It's still 16.
Well, same with the license, right?
That will still apply. The feds have been willing to accept the fact that most states don't allow children to be licensed. So
right.
Don't require children to be licensed.
So we're not considering making people buy a fishing license that are fishing from their own property.
That's correct.
Okay.
The General Assembly had some significant angst over eliminating those exceptions that have been long-time exceptions, especially that one, Mr. Schick. I can tell you they really had some trouble with that one.
Just let everybody know about that.
Yeah. Questions? Mr. Fox.
All right. If my son and daughter-in-law come from Colorado and want to fish on my boat with my wife and myself, both of my wife and myself being over 65, then all four of us have to call in.
You have a boat license, correct?
Yeah.
It's probably in your name?
Yeah.
You will not. You're covered. We've got your contact information, but your wife and your daughter and son-in-law will have to call in or get on the internet and give us the contact information. You could literally do it from your cell phone on the dock before you get on the boat. It'll be that easy.
And for those that don't know, this is not a novel idea. If you hunt migratory waterfowl, in the Commonwealth of Virginia. You also have to register through the HIP program with DGIF, so this is not reinventing the wheel, this is just simply a variant of that. Mr. Tankard?
When you say an FIP number, like the HIP number, has to be carried at all times, proof that that number is actually a real number, is there anything way we can make sure that people are not fudging the system?
There are ways to code that number so that our officers will be able to identify it as
yours,
a high probability of being a legitimate number, and we're working on that. I think some of the other states have some experience with that.
All the HIP numbers, you can tell whether it belongs to you as part of the number that's issued.
Right.
Asking your driver's license and other numbers. We don't want to give the secret as to how you do it. Further questions? Mr. Plumlee.
Well, the way the General Assembly has laid this out, we have the boat owners paying for the registration costs, as opposed to the people who are under the exemptions. And there's really not much the commission can do about that, the way it's written. In other words, we can't assign the cost to those making the registration because we're not authorized under the statute to do so.
That's correct.
Now, is there any way, if we were to fashion the rule that required all registration to be done by the Internet, since there is no cost, would that go against the statute envisioned and passed by the legislature?
That's a good question. No, it wouldn't. And, in fact, we want to sort of keep our eye on how much use the phone line part of the program gets, with the idea that perhaps sometime in the future we could eliminate that option and, as a result, reduce our cost. It's my understanding right now that the state of Maryland is considering not taking registrations by phone, that it would be entirely internet-based. I'm not willing to go there yet. I think this is such a new program, and we're so interested in creating a good database of contact because it results in good information that you all will use to manage the fisheries on. I'm going to go out of our way to capture people, at least in the early years, and see how it goes from there. But there may be a time when people become more internet connected, if you will.
Well, now you can, from your phone, get right there on the internet and register just as quickly as you could by talking to somebody on the other side, charged $1 a minute.
The other thing is
Mr. Schick,
are we looking at a program where agents that already sell licenses would be able to provide this as a service? So if somebody comes in and wants to get a saltwater license, boat license, and say, look, and I have four people here that want to get their federal lot number,
no,
can you do that?
I know, and I'll tell you why we can't do that or why we shouldn't do that. The agents receive a minuscule amount of remuneration as far as
I pay more to do it than I'm at.
And yes, and there and the frequent complaint is, with what we're getting paid to drop this on top of us, that we may lose agents, which we desperately cannot do. I mean, we scrape to find them as they are. So anyway,
one last point in terms of getting the word out on this, we have applied to the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission for a grant in the amount of $130,000 that will be used almost exclusively for advertising this new rule if when you adopt it, and how people go about registering, signs at boat ramps, tackle shops, ads in newspapers, a whole variety of things that Mr. Bull will be hitting the ground with when that money comes in. We are aware that our proposal did receive high marks compared to a lot of the other states, so we're fairly optimistic we're going to get some funding. I don't know if it'll be funded in the full amount, but that'll go a long way to reducing our initial cost.
The other thing I want to bring up, especially with Colonel Rhodes being in here, when we initially where the General Assembly adopted the law pertaining to the saltwater recreational license. The first year, there were a number of people that did not know that you needed it. And we took an approach from an educational perspective that it was law enforcement's position. This was not going to be an opportunity for a ticket bonanza. It was an opportunity to educate the public. And that's exactly the way that it's going to be during the first year of this. It's going to be more important to educate because, after all, we're out there to get the data. We're not out there to reach in somebody's pocket, make them register, and then take whatever the fine would be, up to $500. So anyway, I just want to make that point clear. Mr. Fox, do you have?
Let me ask one more question, really for the benefit of the audience, because I think I know the answer. If I operate a headboat or a charter fishing
boat, question.
I've got to make sure that everybody, that all my customers come on, have a FIP number. Is that right?
No. In that case, they're exempt. That's okay. That's the other exemption I forgot to mention. Thank you. We capture all of the charter boat captains through the charter boat licensing system and the fishing guide license system that we have in place. And the federal government has a separate survey for the for-hire sector, and that exempts the anglers who are fishing on charter boats. So you don't have to have a Virginia fishing license if you're fishing on a charter boat, and you don't have to register if you're fishing only from a charter boat.
Further questions? Good job detailing that, Jack. Public hearing, anyone wish to be heard on the matter? If not, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard.
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.